turn this idea of what does human performance look like a little bit on its head and say, if you're missing this piece where you don't understand the fact that you have an instinctive need to take action in a certain way, that's the missing piece of the puzzle that's going to help bring you joy at work. So it is a simple, to me, it's kind of a handbook. It's a primer for people individually, but then it's going to have information in it about how can you use this in your work life, certainly as well, because that's where people seem to have a lot of pain. So what does freedom to be yourself look like? What do you know about your strengths? And then just building an amazing life around who you uniquely are.
Yeah, and I think defining productivity really is important, isn't it? Because we all have this idea, more is better. And one of the things that my boss, Dan Rogers, teaches is that he has a saying that we have too muchness all around us, and actually doing less, knowing what not to do, is actually a really, you know, big superpower for people who want to be effective. Do you have any advice on that in terms of just the fallacy of productivity as the benchmark of success?
Yeah. Well, again, definition of success, right? Being freedom to be yourself. But I do think that people, you just have to make peace with the fact that you're going to have to say no to a lot of stuff. And that is hard, because that is your personality wanting more, more, more. So the minute that we can focus on things and really what the priorities are, I know that's hard. Start saying no to the things that have you working against your grain, not just the things you don't have time for. So I do think people will feel like, oh, this is only going to take me 2 minutes, so I'm going to do it. But it might really be wasting a lot of energy you need for things that matter to you more. And one of the things that we have kind of an activity that we walk people through where you get to really what should be your top commitments. And I'll say, when you tell yourself you're committed to something within a time frame, if I said, okay, you owe me whatever number, $10,000, if this does not get done by Friday, would you drop some things off the list? And everybody says, absolute, whoa, I better only have one thing on that list. And say, that's fine. That's okay. A commitment really needs to be a guarantee, and you need to have very, very few of them. So you have to give yourself grace that when there's a lot of energy being expended, for example, in your personal life, because either you're taking care of your kids or you have an ailing parent or whatever, some other things will have to give. But it is not about more. It's about more of the right things. And if you are someone like me, who really is always about, like, my gut is always about the more, and I'm in Clifton Strengths, I'm a maximizer. It's just always more. Then tapping into your strengths become critical, because if you do it in a way that's natural for you, you actually can do more. Then that is what we're trying to do, is give you more energy to get things done that matter to you. You will actually get more done. And ultimately, you got to let go of some of the guilt. And that's the hardest thing for all of it. The guilt that I should be doing this, and this is how other people would do it, and look at everyone's taking on more. And that's the hardest part, I think, is just letting some of that go and being okay with that.
Amy, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask you, if you look at the statistics, it's really difficult for family businesses to survive more than one or two generations. It's pretty rare, in fact. What would you say the success of your family business has been? What's the secret to succeeding as a family entity?
Oh, gosh. Well, we're really passionate about family business, because when it doesn't work out, it's devastating. It doesn't just ruin the business, it ruins relationships. So I think the first thing is, it starts with, if you're going to bring anyone into your business, it has to be a great fit. Don't ever bring a child in, and I mean an adult child, obviously, into the business if they haven't succeeded somewhere else first. So that's my number one piece of advice is, by the time I came into the business, by the time David came into the business, we had had successful careers. We could sit in a meeting. We had ideas to contribute. You got to come in with some kind of baseline. If it is your first job, that's tough. It's tough for people to respect you and bring that in. But when I talk about right fit, it really is that it has to be a great fit for you in all three parts of the mind. So it has to be a good fit for your skills and your passion and desires and values. And that third piece is that your strengths can be used. And you have to come in being your unique self instead of emulating maybe a parent that started the business or whatever else. So for us, what's worked really well, and I'll give you the example of David and me, it's really easy to stay in our lane because we are, our skills are so uniquely different from each other. And so he defers to me on certain things that are absolutely best served for my strengths, and I do the same for him. So if a family business can be built on obviously shared values and mutual respect and all of that, then it's all about making sure that there's an outlet for the strengths that's involved. I think that that's really critical. And founders have to be willing to let this next generation or the generation after that get the same mission accomplished in a very different way. That's when it gets really tricky, I think. So Kathy, I give her so much credit. She gave us the ability to say we are all in line with, we're on a mission to change people's lives by discovering their strengths and putting that into play. But she knew that we would make very different decisions than she did. And one thing I'll tell you, one little hint for those of you that are founders, she felt like she needed to get out of the building because it is your baby and it is very hard at the point where you're not making all the decisions. So she started that other organization because I think if she had been in the business every day, she would have had a hard time not having opinions about everything. I tell people the ordering the pizza story that I don't know if we have time for, but
yeah, sure. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So quickly, when Kathy wasn't in the company anymore in the office, but she was coming back for meetings every once in a while. One time I had ordered pizza and I asked her, hey, we're having pizza. You want to stay? And she immediately went over and looked at the pizzas and started criticizing how much pizza I had ordered, that there wasn't enough meat pizzas, whatever. I don't even remember all the specifics. So I kind of pulled her into another room. I remember being so mad. And I said, if you cannot trust me to order pizza in a way that works, then you cannot trust me to run your company. And so a pizza level decision ended up being our marker. We would say, is this a pizza level decision or is this higher? But we laughed so hard about it, and we wrote about it in our book that we wrote, Business is Business About Family Business, because she said, you're right. That's the level at which I have a hard time stepping away, even when it comes to ordering pizza. So I have to kind of separate myself. So anyway, that's just, we learned some hard lessons, everybody. As long as you share values, it can work, but make sure there is an outlet for everyone's strengths or else it's really painful along the way. So
that's a great story. Well, it's really amazing to look at the impact that one person has had on an area, a thought area that's making work better for so many people. Amy, what's your dream for Colby into the future? Where do you hope Colby goes that it's not now? Or just what's your dream as you all move into the next generation?
Oh, my dream is that every child would know their instinctive strengths from a very young age, and that we have systems both at school and at work where people can get excellent end results. We focus on the end result and give people some freedom to get there in whatever way is most natural for them. So I know that if we could have every human in the world have Colby indexes, it would be validating for them. It would, you know, not just raise their awareness, but so much confidence in their ability to contribute. This is what you're bringing to the world. So I know that is very pie in the sky, but I just want to paper the world with Colby indexes. We do a lot of work. We have something called Strengths Week once a year at the beginning of May, where we donate thousands of indexes to nonprofits and people that wouldn't be able to afford an index otherwise. So we're making our steps toward that. But we're looking for more opportunities to make sure everyone gets to know their strengths.
Well, I think it's just beautiful what Kathy told you about success being the freedom to just be yourself. And if we think about our kids and if we think about the people that we love in our lives, oh my gosh, I mean, that just melts my heart to think that that's what I hope for my two boys, that they can succeed in a way that when they go to work, they only have to wear one hat and that's theirs.